Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the coming Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. Just the other day while I was out running errands, literally song after song came on the radio that I knew well enough to sing along. Now some were Christmas carols, which I've sung for years, of course. Others were songs from the Beatles, and I've always had a soft spot for the Beatles. But some of the songs I hadn't heard for years, and yet I still could regularly remember most of the words, and more often than not, what was going on in my life when that song was first popular. I have this overwhelming urge to just launch into Don McLean's American Pie. But I will spare you, or at least save it for another Sunday. Now, what's interesting to me is that this kind of thing happens all the time. And each time it happens, I wonder what it is about the power of music that it can find so easily a permanent home in my memory when day to day I can barely remember where I put my car keys. Or I wonder how is it that songs bring with them a flood of memories and emotions that few other events or activities do. Now, neurologists and psychologists both will tell us that music affects us differently and more powerfully than almost anything else in our lives. Music doesn't just inform us, it moves us. Music doesn't just convey information, but shapes our imagination. Music doesn't simply enlighten us, but inspires us, even forms us to be the people we are. Think about it. Some of the first things we learn best as children are those things, like the alphabet, that we set to music. And among the last things we lose in our old age are the songs that we learned and sang as youth. But beyond all this, music does another thing that amazes me as well. And this I learned best from Staff Sergeant Roberto Melendez. Now, Staff Sergeant Melendez was the Marine Corps drill instructor whose job it was to whip into shape a group of young and inexperienced naval chaplain candidates that I was a part of a few years ago. Melendez would begin the day, every day, the same way. Having lined us up outside of our barracks, he would ask, "Any of you ever hear of something called jazzercise?" And since we learned pretty quickly that it was not okay to simply say yup when our drill instructor asked us a question, we would reply in one voice, "Yes, Staff Sergeant." And then Staff Sergeant Melendez would smile this tight, knowing, almost smug smile and say, "Well, you about to experience Melendez-ize." And then he would take us out on a run. A really, really long run. And usually about a minute or two in that run, Staff Sergeant Melendez would start singing. Singing the songs drill instructors have sung for decades throughout both the Corps and the Navy, though truthfully, I'm pretty sure he adapted most of the lyrics to those songs because, after all, we were chaplains. And a few of you know just what I'm talking about. And that singing made a difference. It helped us pass the time. It helped us stay in sync with each other. It lifted our spirits. It made us laugh. It helped us endure more than we thought we could endure. But more than anything else, it made us one. Because over time, we'd sing not only when we ran, but when we drilled, when we were doing chores at the end of the day, and as we marched out to formation. We'd sing different songs, different tempos, different words, all with the same purpose, to make us one. And that becoming one unit, one group, one class of young naval officers still wet behind the ears, never felt like we were losing a part of ourselves or our identity to become part of the larger group. In fact, it felt like we were discovering a new part of ourselves as we were being joined with others in a common cause. And if this is true of songs in general, it is even more true with the songs, carols, and hymns that we sing at church. Whether it's a beautiful and tender carol like "What Child Is This" that we sing at Christmas time, or a triumphant song of resurrection like "Thine Is the Glory" that we sing at Easter and at funerals. Or maybe it's a song of courage like "I Will Not Be Afraid" up at camp, or a song of beauty and wonder like Amazing Grace, the song I would sing my colicky daughter to sleep with each night. These carols and songs not only teach us the faith, but help us to believe it and to live it. They draw us together into more than a collection of individuals, knitting us into the very body of Christ. Now, I thought of Staff Sergeant Melendez and the power of song, in part, of course, because this is the centennial Sunday and month when we lift up Mount Olivet's spectacular music ministry. But I also thought of Staff Sergeant Melendez when I read this week's gospel story about John the Baptist. Now, John, by all accounts, was a pretty big deal. He baptized people in droves, was a fiery and popular preacher, and was attracting quite a following. So much so, in fact, that teachers and religious leaders of the day came out from Jerusalem to meet John in the wilderness to ask him whether he was the Messiah. That's right, John is popular enough, well thought of enough, and charismatic enough that they think he might be the promised Messiah. Until that is, John sets them straight with a one-word answer: no. A little disappointed, perhaps, they move on to ask, "Well, then, are you Elijah?" Now, Elijah, by the way, was the one that faithful Jews expected would come just before the Messiah. Again, though, John answers, "No." "Surely, at least, you are a prophet," they assert. "No." "Then who are you?" they finally ask, frustration and impatience oozing out of their mouths. And here John surprises them all by quoting the prophet Isaiah, "I am the voice of one crying out, singing in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." John, you see, has discovered who he is by responding to his calling, by letting himself be caught up into something that was larger than himself. John was not, as the author of today's gospel reading says, the light. He was rather the one called to witness to the light, and he knows that. Now, here is the thing. I think it is really, really hard these days not to focus on or even obsess about ourselves. Each of us is bombarded daily by hundreds of ads promising to help us look better, feel better, be healthier, and more, each one implying that it is high time we take stock of ourselves and, well, up our game a little. And then there is social media, with its relentless demand to present pictures and captions and information about ourselves that is clever and funny and hopefully impressive. And so it's rarely an authentic or honest self that we present. Instead, it's the self we feel the culture or our peers expect, the self that is doing just fine, succeeding, nearly flawless, always on the way up. What's weird is that you would think that with all of the ways there are out there to improve ourselves, or with all the connections and followers and friends we can establish on social media, we'd be doing great. And yet anxiety rates, particularly among our children and young adults, have spiked. And depression across generations have never been higher. There are a lot of reasons for this, I suspect, but I think that part of it is the misconception, or even lie, that by relentlessly focusing on yourself, improving yourself, presenting your best self, hoping others will affirm yourself, you will feel better. Instead, oddly, it seems like we end up feeling more disconnected, isolated, and lacking than ever. Which is why I think both John and music are so important. John discovers himself not by focusing on how important he is, but by recognizing that he has been called by God to do something, to give witness to the light. And each time that we sing, we join our voice to other voices and become one, become part of something larger. And in doing so, we discover that our real, authentic self is always bound up with the real, authentic selves of the people all around us. And then we remember, we are not alone. John and the music we sing at church each week remind us of the gospel affirmation that we matter. Each of us, The hopes and fears, the ups and downs, the accomplishments and setbacks we experience, these things matter to God. But so do the hopes and fears, ups and downs of the people all around us. We don't celebrate in isolation. We don't struggle in isolation. We don't laugh or cry or just get by in isolation. Rather, we do all of these things and so much more together. And that is the invitation that we endeavor to make to you each and every Sunday right here. And it's the thing I hope you most take away this day, to know and believe that you matter. Not because of what you've done or what you may do one day, but simply because of who you are, God's treasured and beloved child. And then I want to invite you to look around and see the people gathered near you, sitting in the pews with you or behind or just ahead of you, singing the same hymns that you are singing. Because these folks also carry around hopes and fears, pains and joys, whether you see them or not. And they matter too. And in realizing that, you remember that you are never really alone. Turns out you are not diminished by thinking of others, but rather enlarged, joined to something bigger, something grander than you could have ever imagined. Now, there has been, I know, a lot of news of late about the decline of the church. Diminishing attendance, smaller congregations, the flight of younger people, and more. Mount Olivet has been a striking exception to these trends. And believe you me, I don't say that as a boast, but as a pledge. Because I think that what stands out about this church is that generations of its leaders and people have focused on making this a place where you are joined to other people deeply and authentically, a place where you know you matter and you know that the people all around you matter too, a place, in other words, where you are invited to sing together, to work together, and are called together to make a difference in this world, both in your individual lives and as a congregation. If we can continue this tradition, and I believe it is our call and our duty to do so, then we may not only continue to grow, but also to be a place of renewal for our communities and for the larger church. And as we attempt to do this, John, I believe, will be our guide, and our music will lead the way. Thanks be to God. Amen.